That's how I feel when he's singing that last verse before I know that I'm fixing to get up here and talk to you this morning. I want you to know, Keith, that I really appreciate the good job that you did on the lesson this morning. Keith is one of those guys who doesn't have a lot of confidence when it comes to teaching a class, but he's probably one of the most knowledgeable men that we have here in this congregation when it comes to God's Word. The lesson that I have this morning, when I finished writing this and typed it out on a computer, and when I printed it out, I had 2 pages. And I told Pam, I said, it's only 2 pages, it's not long enough. So I took care of that. I went in and changed the font size, and now I got 5 pages. So, you know, there's an answer for everything. I've entitled this lesson this morning, God's Terms. And I want you to know that I stand before you this morning, a sinner in need of the blood of Jesus Christ to wash away my sins. But I thank God that he loved me enough that he sent his only son to die on that cruel cross of Calvary, that through his death, burial, and resurrection, that I have that hope and I have forgiveness of those sins. Today, if you're not a Christian and you're not living as a Christian should, you will have an opportunity to get right in the sight of God when this message is over with. I've entitled this lesson, God's Terms. And throughout the Bible, God has been very specific about what his instructions and what he wants to be done. If you look back to the very beginning with Adam and Eve, he gave them specific instructions about what trees and what they could do, what they could eat in the Garden of Eden. When it came to Noah, he gave Noah specific instructions about how the ark should be built, what type of wood should be used. And I want to ask you this question. Do you think if Noah had varied or if he had changed what God's instructions were when it came to that ark, do you believe that it would have floated? I do not. Time and time again, we read about what God expects us to do. When his instructions are followed, usually the outcome is good. But when they are ignored, usually the outcome is bad. When you think about the children of Israel and all the things that they did, when they followed God's word and the things that he told them to do, everything went as it should. But when they turned and they murmured, things turned bad. We need to understand that we are God's creation. He loves us just as we love our children. He wants nothing but good for us. Just as he gives us instructions, we instruct our children. And the reason we do that is because we don't want anything bad, any harm to come to them. But we must live our lives on God's terms. If we want to exist with God in heaven forever, it's his terms and not ours. I had a conversation recently with someone who was of the denominational world, and I want you to know that I love this individual dearly. But they want to do things on their terms. They want to do things on man's terms and not on God's terms, just as he has instructed. I asked the individual what you must do to be saved. And I was told, just accept Jesus as your personal Savior. And I asked that individual, I said, can you show me in the Bible where it says that? Well, as you might imagine, I'm still waiting for that answer. I pointed to Acts, the 2nd chapter, the day of Pentecost and Peter's sermon. In verse 38, it says, they were cut to the heart. They asked, what shall we do? Peter replied, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then in verse 41, then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and about 3,000 souls were added to them. God's terms, not man's. It doesn't say sprinkled. It doesn't say poured. It doesn't say repeat the sinner's prayer. It says, be baptized, be immersed for the remission of your sins. You can't walk up to the TV, repeat what the TV evangelist says, and be saved. That's not what God's Word says. Those are man's inventions. One of the biggest problems in the religious world, as I see it, is a lack of studying God's Word. When you take man's word instead of searching the Scriptures for the truth, you're putting your souls in danger. God's Word is not a buffet. You cannot just pick and choose the things that you want to believe, the parts that you think are right. You have to take it all. If you think about it, it's really quite simple. You hear the word, you believe what you hear, repent, confess, and be baptized, and live a faithful life. Most of the time when men get in trouble, it's because we do what we think and not what God has instructed us to do through His Word. I was talking to another individual, another person that's very dear to my heart. She told me that she preferred to worship at 5:30 on Saturday afternoon because that's what fit into her schedule the best. And I thought, man, her terms, not God's. What works out best for her? In Acts 20, the 7th chapter, it says, now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. 1 Corinthians 16:2 says, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there may be no collections when I come. God's instructions, not what men think about it. You know, God created us as a free moral agent. He gives us the ability to make choices, and we can make those choices every day. Some say, it's my life and I'll do as I please. Well, yeah, you can do that. You don't have to follow God's instructions. He's not going to make us do what He wants us to do. It has to be our free will. It has to be our choice. You see, God doesn't want to make us love Him. He wants us to love Him because it's what we want to do, because of the goodness that He's shown to us. But that's a choice too. We have that choice. We can love God, keep His commandments, or we can choose to ignore them. 2 Peter 3:9 says that the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish. You hear that? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. And verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, the elements will melt with fervent heat, both earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. 1 John 2:15-17 says, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And verse 17, and the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of the Father abides forever. Did you catch that? He who does the will of the Father abides forever. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Think about that. Abide forever with God. How could it be better than that? But it's not on man's terms, it's on God's terms. We have to do what God's instructed us to do. 1 John 1:5-7, this is a message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is the light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. John chapter 10, verse 10 and 11, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. We are the sheep. He has given his life for us. You know, the world that we live in today has changed so much in my lifetime. I can't help but think about all the things that are going on. All the violence, the murders, the hate that's destroying the very fiber of our country. God's children are not committing these crimes. People who have allowed Satan to corrupt their hearts are the ones that are committing these crimes. But until we place our focus on God, things will only get worse. You may say, well, what can I do? What can I do to change things? Well, you know, on Wednesday night, we've been studying Each One Bring One. When I think about that, I think about getting to the core of the problem. We've taken God out of so many things in this world. And you see where we are now? We've taken God out of our schools. We've taken God out of our government. We've taken God out of everything. It's not going good. It's not going good. We have to start with the lost. You know, as Christians, we are instructed to preach the gospel, spread the gospel, try to save lost souls. I mean, that's what we need to be doing, is saving lost souls. That's how we change things, by converting more people to Christianity. And we can do that one soul at a time, but we all have to work together to get it done. Are you a Christian? Are you living on God's terms? If you're not living on God's terms, you can do that. You can start that today. Believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repenting of sins, confessing and being baptized for the remission of those sins, rise up out of that watered grave of baptism as a new creature, pure in the sight of God. But if you're a Christian and you've fallen away from your first love, and you haven't been living like you should have been living, today you have the opportunity to make that right too. Whatever the needs are, if you'll come while we stand and sing.